Hello and welcome to the Dogs of Henley podcast. For those of you joining us for the very first time, it's great to have you here. And for our returning listeners, thank you so much for your continued support. It means the world and it's wonderful to have you back again. This podcast is dedicated to all things dog. We will be having an ongoing discussion about the wonderful, wonderful world of dogs and everything it has to offer. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hello, we are back, and it's time for episode 5. Can't believe how quickly the time's going by. I've got an amazing guest this evening, somebody who has an enormous heart and a lot of love for their dogs. And I just can't wait to have a chat with her. It's really, really exciting. So I'm not going to delay. I want to get straight into this. Let's say hello to Jess.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course, Jess. It's so good to have you. How are you doing?
Yeah, no, really good. Really good. Thank you. Obviously got my hands full, but yeah, good.
Thanks for coming on and doing this. It's really fun, and it's particularly interesting to do it with people from our locality. What I like to do with my interviews, Jess, is to start off by just letting you tell us a little bit about yourself, because I think it just helps to definitely for people to know who they're listening to. So if you want to just take it away, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and then we'll move on to the main topic of the discussion, which is dogs.
Oh, yeah. As you said, my name's Jess and I live in Henley and I work for a charity, TBPS, and we support people with HIV. I don't really know what else to say. Terms apart from my dogs, as we know.
Well, that's it. And that's what we're mainly here to talk about. So before we go into your dogs, let's leave with that first question that I always like to do, you know, with regards to dogs. Why do you love dogs?
Do you know what? I actually came to the dog loving game really late. I wasn't like a child that really, like I liked, they were fine. Wasn't really that bothered. We didn't really have any. And when I met my partner like 12 years ago, they had the most amazing family dog called Carlos, this Rottweiler, and his personality and his temperament. And everyone just fell in love with him. And I did too. And it really kind of made me see how much dogs could bring to your life and how different they could be, all their personalities and things. Yeah, he was lovely. So he's where it began. And then Ben and I had decided we'd like a dog. And yeah, now I've had one. I just wouldn't be without one, you know. I'm sure you're the same. I just think I'm not embarrassed to say like my dog Jimbo is like my best mate. Like we, you know, we spend all our time together. He's just always there if you're happy or sad. And I feel like when we got him, I always describe it like it almost filled a little hole in me that I just didn't know was there. I didn't even know it was there, but you feel just so, yeah, it's just so amazing. They're just the best company.
They really are. And I love that, you know, with what you said about filling a little hole in you that you didn't even know was there. I had a very similar discussion with one of my interviews where we spoke about how dogs have that little place in your heart that can only be for dogs. And I think it's so true. I think if you haven't owned one, yeah, and then you do, you're like, oh, I've been missing out on something. And I love as well that you said, you know, that it's like Jimbo's your best mate. And I tell you, I had the funniest conversation. One of my customers was about to go off on his stag do. And I said to him, I was like, oh, you know, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. It'll be awesome. You know, it'd be nice to get out now, you know, with the COVID restrictions sort of, being taken away a little bit. And he sort of looked a bit despondent and just said, yeah, I don't really want to go. I just want to spend time with my dog. And I was like, that is perfect. You know, I can totally relate.
It's so true, isn't it?
It is.
You don't want to go away. You go away and you spend your time worrying if your dog's all right.
I know. Absolutely, you do. You know, when we have dogs staying overnight with us, you know, that's the biggest thing. People wanted to know how their dog's doing. And I don't blame them. You know, when I go away from our family dog, I always miss him. You know, they're a big part of our lives, you know. So, but love that. Love how much you love dogs and that you've come to the, as you say, you've come to the dog loving party quite late in life. Probably makes it even stronger now because you just think, oh, I've got to make up for lost time.
Yeah, I need to just cram. This is why I'm just adding more dogs.
Yes.
Just trying to make up for those years I missed out.
That's it. Well, I tell you what, let's start with speaking about Jimbo before we get on to the multiple dog situation. Let's talk about Jimbo first. So tell us about him.
So Jimbo is 5 and he is a rescue from Romania. And he was in a kill shelter and he was brought over to the UK. We actually met him before we adopted, well, before we rescued him, but we went to see a different dog. And we had said, we'd had a conversation and we'd said, no, if this other dog doesn't work out, we're just going to go home. It, you know, we're not out shopping kind of thing. Anyway, we got there and this other dog, it didn't work out. She was really, really fearful and the fit just wasn't there. And people had said to me before I went, oh, you'll know, you'll just know. And I kept saying, but what if I don't know? Anyway, the lady who had brought the dogs over, she was part of a charity. She said, oh no, I have these other two, you must see them. And we were really like, oh no, honestly, let's have a think. We'll come back another day. She's like, no, you have to. And you know, you don't want to be kind of be rude in those situations. Anyway, she brought Jimbo out and that was it. Like, and they're right. I knew, like we knew. He just ran out. He was so sweet. He just fell asleep in Ben's lap. He was, yeah, and that was it. They were just like taken. But yeah, so he was rescued from a kill shelter. So they were going to put him down, bless him. But I guess one of the biggest things about Jimbo, and it's kind of why I started the Instagram page and stuff, is so he's been, I mean, we don't know what he's been through, but he's been through a lot. He's got a massive scar around his neck. He's covered in scars all over him. He's missing half his ear. He's clearly been attacked by dogs and chained up and things, which makes him really reactive to other dogs. So that's a bit of a struggle with him. And it's really hard because who he is outside the house isn't who he is at all in the house. I've just never met a better behaved dog. Like I can put my dinner down next to him and he won't touch it if I leave the room. He's just amazing. Wow. And just the soppiest, loves cuddles and spooning. Oh, he's just so soppy. So it's really odd for me when I go out and you'll see people kind of being a bit judgy because, and I get it, you know, when he reacts, he sounds not very nice. But you want to say to them, no, but wait, let me show you this video I've got of him. Like watching a film of me, I swear, he's really lovely. But obviously you can't do that to people on the street. You sound bonkers. But yeah, so that's little Jimbo.
Love that. And that's quite a funny bit at the end there, you know, saying that, you know, let me show you, hang on, he's not mean, I promise.
I just want to shout that at people.
Yeah, you've got to take the sort of the good from the bad. You've recently got yourself a second dog as well, so I really want to talk about her too.
Oh yeah, little Rita. So she is been with us for just over 2 weeks now. We've kind of always thought that we might like another dog. And I know that probably people are probably like, we've got another dog, but your dog doesn't like dogs. So I should explain, my dog, he really likes dogs that he trusts. So if he goes out on a pack walk with a dog walker or something, like he's like, he likes other dogs. He doesn't like dogs that he doesn't know approaching him. He just can't cope with that. And I'm pretty sure it must have been where he was tied up or whatever had happened to him and he couldn't get away. But anyway, so he does, we know that he does love dogs, but you know, because he hasn't had much time around them, he sort of doesn't really know how to interact as a dog. But anyhow, there's a place that knows Jimbo quite well called Dog Trouble over in Wokingham, and they do boarding there and they do rescues as well. And they had this little girl called Rita and they felt that there'd be a really lovely fit. Rita's from Greece. She's the same age as Jimbo, about 6 months younger. And she was living with a lady out there. And then I'm not sure what happened with that, but basically Rita and her brother got given to the shelter. The shelter rehomed them last year in the UK. Sadly, that didn't work out either. And I don't think they had a great time. So then they went back again to a different shelter. And then now she's with us. So as you can imagine, she really doesn't trust people at all. She's terrified, but she loves dogs. So they're sort of a yin and yang, like, Jimbo doesn't love the dogs, but he loves all people. She's not so sure about the people, except she's not reactive at all. She's just scared. But yeah, so far, I'm always like touching wood. Like so far, it's going amazing. I don't want to jinx it, but they're getting on so well.
I absolutely love seeing the Instagram stories, them interacting. And how have they, because like you said, you know, they're at opposite ends there with regards to, one is comfortable with dogs, but not with humans. And the other one is the other way around. How are they interacting and helping each other?
They're actually amazing. So Jimbo massively gives Rita the confidence to explore the house or to feel happy on a walk and to start letting her guard down. She likes to just know where he is and be around him, but they're kind of really perfect because Jimbo's really chilled out and he's quite independent. So although he likes some love, he also likes, you know, I'm going to go lay down, kind of leave me alone for a bit. I'm just chilling out. And she's very much the same. So she, as long as she can just lay somewhere near him, that's fine for her. But I don't know how we'll be with dogs yet, because we haven't really encountered any, because I'm sure we'll talk about how we manage Jimbo and things like that. But I'm hoping, you know, maybe she will help him with that. It doesn't matter if she doesn't. Our life is already adapted to help him avoid all of those situations. But I mean, I put up a video today, you've probably seen it on stories, where he has no idea how to play with other dogs, really. So, you know, she keeps trying to initiate play and he's just a bit baffled, like, I'm not sure what we're doing. It looks really fun. But yeah, he's been really, really helping out. In the mornings, his kind of loving energy, where he's like having cuddles and things, she will now enter the bedroom. And this morning, it might sound tiny, but she let me stroke her, where normally she'd cower, she might wet herself, but she stopped wetting herself. She started letting us stroke her. She just needed a home. And I think their energy is so perfect for each other. Neither, they're not challenging. They're just on an even keel.
Yeah, I mean, it must be really rewarding when you get so much out of a dog, like a dog that's had such a tough past and a rough upbringing. And then, like you say, the little things along the way, like she lets you just stroke her now, you know, because she's been interacting with Jimbo and there's that level of kind of trust being built. It must be enormously rewarding when things do start to go in the right direction.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely amazing. But I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't mess up. Like today is a perfect example. I was actually going to post about it because I really like to just try and be honest. I had got ahead of myself and thought, right, I'll take her out to the river and we'll go and see some dogs because she likes dogs. So let's go and do that. So I literally went out of my front door around the corner and I could, you know, we'd barely gone anywhere and she was freaking out because her safety net, Jimbo, wasn't there. So just turned around, went home. That's fine. I think we walked for about 5 minutes. And yeah, I just have to kind of go back to square one and be like, right, no, you messed up the routine. What are you doing? This isn't good for her. You decided this would be a great idea out of nowhere. there are some setbacks with things like that, but mainly where I'm just making really stupid decisions like that. And it's like, oh, just annoyed with yourself where you think, yeah, we're at this point. And actually, it's like, no, she needs such small steps. But yeah, it doesn't seem to have affected her too much because we went to an enclosed field afterwards and she had a ball, as you probably saw, blooming whale of a time.
Yeah, I did. I saw it in your Instagram story and it's just, she looked so happy. I think that's so nice. And it was really cute how she was trying to initiate play with Jimbo and he was like, hang on, what's going on here? You know, it was really cute.
One day the penny is going to drop and because he loves to play with us so much. So he really, really loves playing, but it's just when a dog does it, he's just like, I have no idea what's happening. So hopefully soon he'll get on board with that.
Well, we've obviously mentioned there on a few different occasions, your Instagram page, you know, you've got a great following, you know, we follow you as you're like one of our like little green ones, you know, where it's like close friends, everything you do.
You're one of mine.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Well, I really, really enjoy your Instagram page. And I'm pretty sure there was that one time when I was like driving by and I recognized Jimbo and I like leaned out the window. I was like, hey, I know you from Instagram.
You pulled over in the morning and you said, is that Jimbo the Rescue? No, it's just like, yes, it is. No, it was really nice that you did that.
I really enjoy your page. I think it's brilliant. And I think that what you've done with it is you've turned it into a really cool way of following what has been a really interesting journey for you. And if when I go through your posts and I see the different posts, there's a lot of positivity, then also a lot of like moments of like, you know, where you're like, I need to vent this. And I think that it probably perfectly sums up, although, albeit not from as close to the situation as you are, but it probably perfectly sums up the time frame of actually having a rescue dog, the ups and downs, you know?
Oh, completely. Do you know what? The Instagram, a lot of social media, I'm not a huge fan of because, as we know, people put things up and pretend their lives are kind of different than they actually are. And I started the Instagram page to kind of vent, like you're saying, because I really didn't know where to go with it. Because I think if you have a lovely dog, you don't necessarily understand how hard it can be, like how isolating, and you just feel like you're failing all the time and you're failing this dog. And so I thought, A, I love taking pictures of him, but B, I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to use this as a place to just be honest and say how I'm feeling about these things. And the community on there is amazing. And they're not like any other kind of social media community. People are honest. There's no judgment. They're so supportive. They'll give you tips if they can. And they've made it so much easier, I have to say. My biggest tip, whenever someone gets a rescue dog, I'm like, start an Instagram account now. I think the journey would have been so much harder without that support and that place that you could just go and go, this is awful or this is brilliant. And they really, really get it. You know, a lot of the people we interact with a lot have dogs that have anxiety or are reactive or separation anxiety or have been through their own things. So they kind of really, really get that sometimes you just need someone to be like, this is rubbish. I'm really sorry that happened to you today. But, you know, tomorrow's a new day and you're doing great. Keep going, kind of thing, you know. So I love it for that.
Yeah, it's hugely, hugely helpful. And I think that's a really cool little tip that you gave there a little while back, where you said it's important that if you're getting a rescue, start an Instagram page. And you're so right, because you will actually get so much support. I don't think I've ever had a negative comment or a negative message or anything related to our Dogs of Henley Instagram page. And it's so nice. And that's like a commercial page. It's a business page. You know, if you're on there pouring your heart out about your rescue dog and the journey you're going on and all the trials and tribulations, you're likely to get even more support. And I think it's so nice. I think that dogs truly, truly bring out the best in everyone.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I totally agree. I feel like now though, we're a bit jinxed. We're probably going to get hate comments because we've both been like, oh, we haven't had any horrible comments. So we've probably both jinxed it now. But no, I have to say, in all the years I've had mine, exactly the same as you, I haven't had anything negative. I've just had supportive comments and just love, feeling all the love from these really, really wonderful people.
So nice. It's really nice. I'm really glad to hear that as well. You know, you're somebody who's part of like our community and, you know, in Henley. And I think people are really nice to each other, and further afield, people you meet, you know, on social media that will show you this immense love because you're talking about your dog and you're putting yourself out there. Are there any particular things that really, really stand out in your mind? Like maybe the top thing or the top two things that have been the hardest bits about being a rescue dog mum?
Oh, I'd say one is the judgment, like in real life. Obviously, we just talked about how lovely and non-judgmental social media is. I think the judgment is when you're trying your hardest and you kind of don't know what to do, and you're sort of doing all the research you can and trying to train your dog and things, to have someone tut at you or roll their eyes or make a comment, I still find that hard now, because it, you know, it's just like, oh, I want to explain to you all the things my dog's been through, that he's, you know, really scared and I don't know why, because he's a rescue, and but I'm just, you know, I'm trying my best here. And I just, a lady once stopped me in the street when Jimbo's going a bit bananas, and I thought, oh, she's gonna make a comment, she's gonna be horrible. And she, oh, it makes me well up. Even now, I was saying this to my husband the other day. She just stopped me and said, you're doing a really good job. I've seen you trying really hard. Well done. And I just cried. So I think sometimes the judgment, it's just so hard, because you want to be a good dog parent. You know, you've rescued this little thing. You've brought them into your life. They didn't ask you. So you want to do the best for them. So when it feels like the rest of the outside world is judging you, I find that really hard. I used to feel like I knew nothing, because I was, like I said, I'm late to the party with dogs. So even more so, I felt like, oh, I don't know anything. So everyone's opinion must be better than mine, because I have no idea. So I'll listen to every different person. And, you know, you try all kinds of different techniques, and some work and some don't. And that's great. But I think what I found is when I started going, no, I know my dog. I can see him. I'm spending every day with him. And actually, I'm noticing that he doesn't want me to keep trying to drag him near other dogs to make him feel better. What he'd like is for me to take him away from them. And then I see him start trusting me more. And then we have nicer walks. And I think once I started accepting who he was, I'm not saying you shouldn't train your dogs. Of course you should. But I think to a point, Jimbo is just as he is. And trying to force him into these training situations was making his anxiety worse, making him react more. And it just wasn't good for him and it wasn't good for us. So I think, yeah, kind of not, obviously it's nice to have other people's opinions, but so, you know, when you kind of ask for it, but I think saying, actually, no, I feel like I know my dog well enough now that I am going to move forward with what I think's right for him, you know? And then later down the line, if I want help or support, I can go and ask for it. But yeah, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that you obviously are somebody that knows what you've got yourself into. You know what you've got to do. You know, you've got the experience now, and you can make the decision to do it the way that you want to do it. You don't need to be told by somebody else or really have to follow the same route as everybody else does with their dogs, because one, all dogs are individuals. They certainly are. I mean, obviously the standard route with a dog is to have them as a puppy and train them. And that's what pretty much everybody does, you know. But I think that now we're seeing more and more rescuing and rehoming. I think that you've got to be able to adapt so that you are able to, you know, rescue a dog and then fit your life around making them comfortable. Because as you say, he didn't ask to come and live in your world, in your life. You've brought him into it, and now you've got a duty to sort of do things the way that he wants to do things. So yeah, it must be quite difficult, especially when you've got everybody else thinking, well, I do the course of the route that the other, oh, I don't know, 90% of dog owners do or 80% of dog owners do. And you're like, yes, but I've got a difficult case here and we're having to work with it and do our own thing, basically.
Yeah, completely, completely. And I think that's it. It's, you have to just, like you're saying, there comes a point where you just say, no, actually, this is a bit different. You know, it's not the same as having, and you know, every rescue dog is different. There are some that are, you know, really good with other dogs and they don't have those kind of issues. But yeah, it's, we are responsible for that. And it's not what I pictured, obviously, when we got a dog. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? You have this vision. I mean, I did anyway, where we were like, we love walking in the country and we'll go walking on weekends and we'll go to the pub and it'll be great. I can't do any of those. Well, I can walk with my dog, obviously, but I can't go out on a Saturday lunchtime and take Jimbo to all these beautiful places that I would love to. I can't take him to a pub. He likes security. He likes being at home. He loves quiet walks. So yeah, we've had to just adapt our life around what's better for him. And that's fine. Like, but it's, I just think as soon as you can kind of accept that, especially with a dog like this, like I said, again, I'm not advocating for like not trying and not trying anything, but I just really hit a point where I was like, actually, I'm finding that one of my biggest things with him now is trying to prevent him from going over threshold. So that does mean I have to manage situations. And this morning we're out on a walk really early in the morning and a lady came out of her flats. And so we instantly just turned on a sixpence, off we went the other way. Like, it's just normal, natural, little grumble from Jimbo, but that's it, because he knows I'll take him away. And for me, rather than, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you should power through, show confidence. Once he's gone over threshold and, you know, all of that adrenaline and that stress is in his system, he'll then start reacting to cars, then more stress is in the system, then birds, then more stress. And I mean, obviously, I started doing like a course around dog behavior because I was like, I really need to understand this. And, you know, I had no idea before that the cortisol, the stress hormone, can stay in their system. I think it's around 72 hours it can take them to de-stress. So my biggest thing now is just not having him go over threshold, and then he's a happier dog, you know?
I really admire the effort, and I really mean this, the effort that you put in to your dogs, because I think it's really impressive for you to say that you're somebody who's like, you've understood where they're at. Obviously, you've had a lot more experience with Jimbo. You know, Rita's obviously still very new and you're going to learn and work with her. But you understand where Jimbo's at. You understand that you need to do certain things with him. You've even taken yourself off and you know, done a course, you know, or have started a course. And you know, I think that that's really impressive, because I think a lot of people, you know, through no fault of their own, because perhaps they're not, you know, perhaps they don't know what they're getting themselves into, or they, you know, they don't have the sort of the knowledge to go ahead and do it, or it just doesn't suit them. You know, they might just say, this is too much for me. But I think and that's why I wanted to talk to you. I really admire what you're doing as a rescue dog mum. I think it's really impressive.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Thank you. I suppose I don't look at it like that, because yeah, he's just our family. So you'd make anyone in your family happy and try and make them feel as safe as you could, wouldn't you? I suppose that's how we see it. Just, I want him to be safe and happy. And I mean, he rewards us massively. He might be difficult at times, like we're saying, but oh, wow, he's amazing. He's just so lovely. I can't even describe what a little joy he is in the house, you know?
I'm not going to claim to have the same level of experience with tricky dog situations, but because of the nature of my work and quite often having several dogs, you know, maybe four or five or even six at a maximum out for a walk at one time, I have so much experience in like trying to avoid people, not because I don't like people or I don't like other dogs, but because when you've got a group of dogs, even though they're like tiny and fluffy and cute, you have to still be so cautious and you have to think through every move. So honestly, I'm sure you've done this, the amount of times I've like walked into a bush with the dogs.
Yes. Mine was less of like not doing it mistakenly. I was one of those typical owners that when Jimbo started reacting, I would just get into bushes and things like that. When you see a dog coming and you think, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to climb into this bush, and your dog's like, what are we doing? And it's like, we're hiding. It's going to be fine. But I know what you mean. Yeah, you have to be on the lookout. I mean, I can't imagine walking as many dogs as you have to.
You know what? The great thing about it is the more experience you get in it, you know, the easier it becomes, and they love all being together. But every single decision has to be so thought through, and you have to have everybody's written permission to have those dogs out for walks, and you have to have their preference as to whether that dog is on or off the lead. And it's a huge responsibility. I think, you know, people look at it and go, I have absolutely no idea how you do that. And I go, it's just sort of second nature now. But yeah, it is. It's a big responsibility, but you've got a fair amount of experience in your own responsibilities, which is keeping a dog safe and keeping a dog calm. I mean, it's not a million miles removed from, you know, when you're looking after somebody else's dog, you are constantly thinking about their safety and what it is that might trigger them. And there's so many things. Just out for a walk and a tractor comes down the lane, you just think, oh, we're in the countryside.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, isn't it? I mean, you have a whole bunch of dogs, different kind of fears or anxieties or likes if they want to chase things. Like Jimbo has crazy high prey drive as well, so he just sees red when he sees like a squirrel or something. He just wants to go. So I'm sure you have to deal with all of that as well.
Yeah absolutely. You just got to constantly be alert, but it's about finding out as much as you can about the dogs. And it's not dissimilar to having your own dog. You know, you just need to know as much as you possibly can about your dog or the other dogs you're looking after if you're someone like me, because they all have their different personalities, and the different breeds, you know, lead to different traits, and you need to know these things. My partner, Stacey, who I run the business with, she's in the middle of doing a course that is part of the the guidelines in order to get the highest possible rating for our license, for our business. And we've got that now, the highest rating you can get. And part of that is, you know, she's learning all these things that, because it's easy to turn your nose up and go, oh, I'm not going to broaden my horizons and learn more. Like, I know it all because I've looked after X amount of dogs. It's just not true. There's always stuff out there, and there's always things you can be learning. And she keeps telling me these things about this breed and their certain traits and information that, quite honestly, I had not come across before, even through all of my research and all of my work and all of my conversations with trainers and vets and goodness knows what else. There's always more you can learn. And I think that's the cool thing about dogs. It's just a world out there to learn, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, this was it. And that's kind of why I'm doing like a canine behavioral training course. And I'm just doing it for myself, just for me and Jimbo and Rita now. In the end, I was just like, I got so bored of people, you know, wanting to have opinions. And I thought, I'll be my own behaviorist. That's what I'm going to do, because then my opinion really will be like, no, this is fine. I know what I'm doing here, you know, rather than being questioned about whether it's the right thing to do or not. But yeah, I've learned so many things. Like, I didn't realize that anxiety, like Jimbo has, could partially be a genetic thing. And this is where I was like, right, so I can't train this out of him. Or, you know, if he had an incident in those first early imprinting weeks, you're not going to train that out of a dog. Right? So, you know, he's had a really rough life. So I'm like, okay, so I'm not sure that I'll ever be able to train this anxiety out of him. So again, I'm like, good, I've made a good decision. But yeah, learning so much.
Because you know these things, and you know how to create a lovely safe haven for them at your own home where they're really, really calm. What advice do you think, or what tips could you give to somebody else out there who perhaps is looking to rescue rather than buy a dog?
First of all, I'd say don't give up when it gets hard, because you will like come through it. And, you know, although it seems like forever in that moment that this will always be life, it won't be. And things will change, and talk to people and get an Instagram account. Like we've said, get a dog Instagram account. That's a good one. But do you know what, with Jimbo, one of the biggest things where like the massive penny dropped in my head was where I realized, and I do think this is a good bit of advice, that he doesn't want too many choices. So little things like if he's a bit anxious and we go to an enclosed field, because he's got really high prey drive, he can't go off the lead just out and about. So we hire a field that we take him to. On some days, if he's maybe feeling a bit anxious, I will put him on a long line and he's happier. Now, I know that sounds bonkers that people are like, so you go to an enclosed field and then you put your dog on a lead. But honestly, otherwise he'll just run the fence and he's anxious. What's happening? Are there other dogs out there? I'm just going to hunt for them. Whereas the moment I clip that lead on, I take that choice away and I say to him, I'm in charge. I've got this. You just relax. You have fun, mate. And then, you know, his little tongue comes out the side and he runs around having a great time. And it's that works across the board with everything. It's he can't wear a harness. The moment you put a harness on him, it's like saying to him, you're in charge. So he wears a face collar. He wears a cute little one called Too Posh to Pull. It's a nice little comfy one. But his attitude, the energy changes when you put that on him. Because suddenly he goes, oh, I can relax because you've got this, because I don't want to have to do that. So you have this. So do you see what I mean? So I think understanding, I don't know, it might not be the same for everyone's dogs, but that was once that penny kind of dropped and I suddenly looked at that and went, hang on, am I making him in charge of things? When he could see out of the windows, out of the front window in the car, I was giving him the choice to say, right, look, you need to defend the car. So he'd bark at everyone as we drove past, people, dogs, you know, birds. So I was like, no, okay, right, let's crate you. Okay, perfect. This works now because I'm in charge. So that might actually be something that people are like, that is a real no-brainer. But it took me a while to get to that point and I found it massively helpful and I use it all the time with him now.
Yeah, that's a great bit of advice. Take away those decisions, minimize any fear they have because they don't know what they're doing, and just take control of the situation because it'll make your dog a lot happier and a lot safer.
Oh, completely, yeah. And I think too much is focused on dominance being, for me personally anyway, dominance is all being around, don't let them on the bed, don't let them on the sofa. Personally, I don't agree with that. Our dogs, well, Rita hasn't yet, bless her, but she's welcome to. The bed and the sofa is there for her when she wants. But Jimbo's willing to. He's not seeing us in a dominance thing that way. So I think sometimes people think that's what leadership is. And I think, like you're saying, it's not. It's clear direction. It's, right, I'm in charge of this situation and away we go.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And the way you've spoken throughout this interview, you know, with regards to your dogs, it's really, really lovely to hear how much you love them and how well you get along with them and how you've let them kind of steer you a little bit in the sense of, okay, this is what we're going to do to give them the best possible existence. You talk about them so fondly, and you know, do you think it's fair to say that although it comes with a heck of a lot of responsibility and above and beyond kind of having to think through everything you do, and there's always risks, you know, do you think it's one of the best decisions you've ever made, having a couple of rescue dogs?
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, without a doubt, it brought the most happiness and of course stress and things like that at times, but that's stress, you know, that passes and it's nothing. It pales in comparison to the happiness and the joy that Jimbo's brought us, and, you know, Rita in these 2 little weeks as well. Cause it, like you're saying, it's, you know, I'm messaging my partner being like, look at this video of her. She did this today. She sat near me. Oh my God. And we're both like freaking out cause it's so nice. And yeah, it's best thing we ever did.
So nice. And it's so nice to hear you say that. It's been an absolute delight to talk to you today and just hear from your point of view about, you know, owning and having rescue dogs. You know, we love your Instagram page, and you know, I'd encourage anybody out there listening to this who wants to learn a little bit about dogs and you know, rescuing dogs to get on Instagram and speak to people and follow pages, because there is so much to learn out there. Jess, it's been an absolute pleasure. And like I said earlier on, I absolutely respect you so much. I think you've taken on what is a quite a daunting task, you know, the first dog, obviously, and then to have a second dog as well, both of which have had really tough backgrounds, and to sort of embrace it the way you have, whilst also doing, you know, having a full-time, you know, it's not like you're just, this is your job, you know, but you've also got your full-time job too. I just think that I think you do an incredible job, and it shows through the way you talk about your dogs and also through all of your Instagram stuff. Just love following it. So thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on and doing this with me.
Thank you so much for having me and for your lovely kind words. Thank you.
Wow.
Well, what an awesome interview that was. Jess was fantastic. She's obviously got a massive heart. She loves her dogs. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed interviewing Jess. Any thoughts, any feedback, as always, drop us an email, dogsofhenley@gmail.com. We have got so much more planned. We've got lots more interviews in the pipeline, so stay tuned. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.